Have you heard about the 2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid: high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin. The ingredients are 100% traceable. It's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast. Have you heard about the 2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid: high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin. The ingredients are 100% traceable. It's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/prenatal.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here.
We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is WWE superstar Drew McIntyre. You're listening to the WWE Podcast.
One that everybody wants. Me.
Becky Lynch is going to WrestleMania.
Claymore.
Oh. Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass.
This is my iron.
You're gonna acknowledge me.
All right, everybody. It is time for your preview and prediction show for Survivor Series that airs tomorrow night in Brooklyn. Should be a very interesting crowd, and that, I think, is going to be one of the X factors and entertaining X factors during that show is how does the crowd react, right? It's a very intelligent audience down there in Brooklyn. Anytime you go to New York, Philadelphia, any of the big markets, they tend to be the more impassioned and or smart mark type of fans. Whether you take that as a compliment or not, that's just what the reality is, and I think it's going to provide some entertaining chance and reactions tomorrow night. So beyond the card, Ashley and I talk about the crowd's impact and what that could look like. We talk about some big returns that are possible, fantasy returns that are unlikely, fantasy returns that are maybe a little bit more likely and play out those scenarios for you. But one quick plug, I promise, just one, and then we'll get to Ashley and myself, is if you're interested in joining the Discord server, you want to be able to chat with us during the pay-per-view tomorrow night, during Survivor Series, you can chat with myself and all the other patrons over at patreon.com for $1. You get access to the Discord server where we're live giving our in real-time reactions to what's going on the pay-per-view as it happens. That's available to you for just $1 a month, plus a shout out on the show and everything ad-free. If you want to just go ad-free, you can do that too on Apple Podcasts with an ad-free experience right on our homepage. It's just click the ad-free button and you get also a week free. You could download all of our episodes for free for a week, and then, of course, you could cancel. But I'd encourage you to stay on, as everything we do will be published there ad-free, as well as on Patreon. So I promise, just one plug, and there it is. I have nothing more to say. So from here on out, it's going to be Ashley and myself. I'll be back tomorrow night, late tomorrow night, with the post-show for Survivor Series with hopefully a co-host. We'll see. I'm still working things out. If not, and I go solo, it is what it is. But either way, there will be a post show immediately following the pay-per-view tomorrow night. So those that are up super late will be able to see it, or hear it rather. And then if you're waking up on Monday morning, that's when most of you will listen. So, all right, let's get to it. Ashley and myself covering Survivor Series. Here we go. WWE Survivor Series is going to air tomorrow night, and it's a preview show, which means Ashley Mann's back to join us with the preview and predictions. And Ashley, how's everything going? It feels like it's been a while, but I don't think the next time we talk, if you come back for only a preview and predictions show, there's no show in December. So we'll have to get together before then, but because otherwise it's day one, and otherwise I'll have to hit you up on New Year's Eve. It's going to be weird. Well, yeah. So how's everything?
I didn't even think about that. That's so crazy. We wouldn't talk until next year, right? Like that's what people say. Like that's the thing. Like, oh, see you next year. So we wouldn't talk until next year. That's weird, man. Right? Yeah, we can't have that.
No.
Can't have that. I'm great, man. How are you? Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm well. I'm as good as someone could be with a 3 month old and a 3 year old. So with the entire family sick, I'm as good as insane as I could be. It's all good. Anybody out there that is as a parent can attest to the fact that it's a new level of exhaustion. There's no doubt about that. So I will be looking forward, and I'm counting the days until I can have my few days in Florida, in March. So I will be joining yourself down there three months and 3 weeks. Not that I'm counting. So, right.
Well, so, we welcome you.
Yes. Awesome. As a longtime Floridian down there. Right.
So, yes.
All right, well, let's jump into Survivor Series, because this is a pay-per-view, as I just said off the air, that it's a pay-per-view that I have really come to despise. And I hate to say that about Survivor Series, because it used to be, and some people do consider it still one of the big four, but WWE over the last 5 years, 6 years, 7 years has taken it to just this manufactured rivalry that everybody's loyal to their color, and we're supposed to believe that everyone puts all their rivalries aside to fight for the brand that actually means zero. There's no consequences for anybody that loses. Even when there's a total sweep of one brand, we've seen that there are no consequences. There's just nothing. They give away WrestleMania main events like Drew and Roman last year that I still am bitter about. Like there is zero reason to do this other than they feel like it's a good marketing idea, when it's really not, because there's nothing on the line. You're giving everything away for free. So my little mini rant there. This year, we fast forward to 2021, and we have a card that, yes, it's Raw versus SmackDown, and we get the usual, oh, it's only one time a year that Raw and SmackDown go head-to-head, which we all know is a bold-faced lie. But we fast forward, and they didn't build this pay-per-view until 2 weeks before the pay-per-view, which is really telling to me that
– On Twitter.
Yeah, on Twitter. And I was for 3 weeks after the previous pay-per-view, I'm like, hey, guys, I'm like trying to nudge WWE. You guys got a pay-per-view coming up, right? You know that. It's almost as if they forgot. But really, Well, in reality, what I think was going on is they're like, yeah, well, we don't want to stop the current storylines going on. They're more important. But we have this Survivor Series that's built in that it's going to be a manufactured Raw versus SmackDown. And it's like, well, if the storylines that are going on the brands themselves are more important, why the hell are you having Raw versus SmackDown? They should just shoot this dead. No fans care. But anyway, that's my take on it. What do you think overall about Survivor Series and how they've built it this year?
I think it's been really lackluster, like to say the very least, like the build, like, and like you said, they essentially started it 2 weeks out and probably, I mean, obviously they knew what was coming up, but they just, didn't care to put much effort into it or whatever. And I think one of the main reasons probably why they don't really just have that sense of urgency anymore is because it's on networks, right? Like they're not generating any actual pay-per-view buys. So, like you said, with the past 5, 6, 7 years, probably back to the beginning of the network era. What was that, 2014? Around that time when the network debuted itself and they moved all the pay-per-views over. So you could probably trace it back to back then. And I mean, we've definitely had some quality Survivor Series since then, at least like good matches, like the matches with Lesnar alone, like the past with Lesnar and what was that, Lesnar and Daniel Bryan? What was that, 2 years ago, 3 years ago?
Yeah.
Yep. Out of Survivor Series. So we do get the treat of some matches that we normally would not get. So that is a plus, but it's just, and you like, what else are they doing? Like you have so much time on TV. Like, of course, like I am starting to become one of those people who constantly complain about like the 3 hour Raws. Like you literally have 3 hours just on one night alone. So the lack of promotion and hype for something as big as Survivor Series technically still is, because they still consider one of the big four or big five. So it's kind of surprising in one way. And then I guess part of me in another way is like, I probably shouldn't be surprised by much at this point, but, and it sucks because like you have all these feelings going into it, but you know, the matches are going to be, you know, solid because of who's involved. So it's kind of one of those feelings where you like really don't know like how to actually feel in a way, or at least me. So I don't know.
Yeah, I know. And I want to like this pay-per-view. I don't want to hate it because there's so many great memories of Survivor Series with me. I mean, of course, the most infamous moment in pro wrestling history, right? Bret Hart versus Shawn Michaels in 97 in Montreal. I mean, some of the other ones that come to mind are like Team Austin versus Team Bischoff. You had Team Cena versus Team Authority. We had the debut of Sting at Survivor Series. I mean, there have been some really nice moments at Survivor Series when it makes sense. But when you have this brand rivalry, which, by the way, is only, a month and a half, 2 months removed from the brand, the draft. So you've already seen these people compete, and you're just seeing them again a month and a half later, and then they show up on each other's shows right before with no explanation again, and
you're not fighting for anything. Like least like it would at least alleviate a little bit of the lack of logic really. If let's say even if you do have the draft a month out from Survivor Series or a month and a half, whatever it is, at least have there be something on the line for these guys to be fighting for, because I will say they at least aren't hyping the brand supremacy as much this year, which I guess maybe kudos to them, like a tad. But I mean, I think we're still going to probably get the red and blue shirts when they come out on Sunday, but at least have them fighting for something, you know what I mean? Whatever it is, it's just, I don't know, like at least if you have stakes, it alleviates a little bit of all the illogic leading up to it.
Yeah, there's no stakes. I don't. There's nothing on the line, and why?
Which we talk about for years now, you know.
Yeah, it's so just absolutely backwards to me of why we're supposed to care about this pay per view, and it feels like it's just a carryover from years ago, and I just continue to do it because that's just what Survivor Series is. But I don't like this identity of Survivor Series. I think it's. To use the word antiquated, I think is the right word. It just feels forced. It feels like it's just part of the schedule, and it's like, why are we doing this? And like you said, we're going to see the usual red and blue t-shirts, and at least also this year, I will give them credit. We didn't get a whole lot of people bickering over who's the team captain. Like, I mean, that's a good thing, as if, you know, they're in middle school worried about who's the, you know, the captain of the kickball team. I mean, it's good that we didn't get a whole lot of bickering.
What does that even mean? Yeah, the nothing.
That's what
the
I'm saying.
Me. What does
there's,
that even
there's,
mean?
Like, right, you don't get an extra life. Like, it's a video game. You don't get an extra. Right. Yeah. You don't get a do-over. You have the same ability as everybody else. You get no benefit to it other than just like, oh, it's ego. I want to be the captain. It diminishes even further the value of what that match is. So, yeah.
So, like, especially, like, really quick with the captain thing, like, I'm just, like, if especially, like, a Sasha Banks and a Shotzi, for instance, like, if you were going to be on the same team, like, why would I want to be a captain of the team that you, like, we don't like each other? Like, like, the all five individuals don't like each other, so why would I want to be the captain? We're not even gonna, even if we win, like, we win nothing. Like, it's just another match. So
And by the way, whose side is Adam Pearce on? I mean, he has told both Raw and SmackDown. Yeah, he's comes on Raw and he's like, I really want Raw to win. We're gonna put the strongest team out there possible. Dominic, you're out. Bobby Lashley, you're in. And he goes on SmackDown and he's like, I want SmackDown to win. And he's like, well, wait a minute. Like, this is exactly my point, is that you even have management speaking out of both sides of their mouths on air, and we're just supposed to not notice, don't care, or whatever. Like, it's so
the same
insane.
Ones who just drafted each other to different brands to begin with too. So I don't know. It makes your head hurt. Like,
it
you
really does.
And, like, the more you talk about it, it's like, it's just one of those things. It's so easy to fix.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Yeah, it's easy to fix by just not having it. I don't mind. Like, if they, you know what? I even accept this. If they just wanted one 5-on-5 for men's and women's, and you want to do kind of a smaller, scaled down version of Raw versus SmackDown, where you pick five people from Raw on the men, five people for the women on Raw, and, you know, and vice versa for SmackDown. Fine. You want to have men's and women's 5-on-5 for Raw versus SmackDown, and then there's actually something at stake there. Maybe, and this came from one of our listeners, so I don't know who it is, otherwise I give them credit, where maybe the winner, the teams who are the victor, get better placement in the Royal Rumble match or something like that. You know, like, if there was something at stake for the winners of those matches, like, cool. Like, then I'm like, all right, I'm invested. But so it's just that every match has to be Raw versus SmackDown. That's the whole part I don't understand. But if they wanted to make the 5-on-5 traditional matches SmackDown versus Raw and keep it there, like, I'd at least accept that.
Yeah, it just sucks because, like, it could have been cool. Like, even looking back on it, because I think they reintroduced the brand split back in 2016. I think that was the year. So it even would have been cool, like, when they had the fresh start, quote unquote, with reintroducing the brand, whatever year that was. That could have been, like, the time where you refocus, but, like, okay, like, you have your calendar year, like, you know what pay-per-views you have in your calendar year, like, that does not change, like, you know, like, you have, I just don't see why you don't see certain, like, checkpoints and throughout the year and just say, okay, well, we need to plan for this, and you have the luxury of literally putting things wherever you want and doing things whenever you choose. So, like, why not just move the draft back to maybe, like, the first or second week after WrestleMania, when it feels kind of like the start of, like, the new season, you know, their season premiere and all that stuff. So there's just so many, like, simple ways, like, you could have just restructured it from the beginning, so it actually could have been somewhat cool, and, like we've been saying, have something to win, so it's not just, I don't know, man, it's Like, even in the tournaments they have, like, you win a trophy. Like, even at Survivor Series, you don't even win a trophy. Like, I don't know. It's just kind of bizarre.
Yeah, that's true. They don't even give you a consolation prize.
No, like, they don't even give you a participation trophy.
Yeah, nothing. Nothing. And, again, I remember, I think it was 4 years ago or so, when Shane was running SmackDown and Stephanie was running Raw, and we had Shane get completely swept by Raw. There were no consequences other than Shane. Like, Shane was just like, there's basically saying, oh, your heads are going to roll. And nothing came of it.
Nothing happened.
Brock Lesnar even F5'd Shane at that pay-per-view, and I'm like, oh, we're going to get Shane Brock Lesnar. Nothing happened there either. There is, if there's an example of where maybe something could come of it, it's if there's a complete sweep of a brand. Well, we've seen a complete sweep of a brand, and nothing has ever come of it. So, guys, I think that we have certainly made our point that this is a meaningless pay-per-view. Unless things change, right now there's no consequences, no championships on the line. It's all about ego and bragging rights, and we're all supposed to care because we're loyal to red or blue, which is nonsense. So, that said, before we get into the nitty gritty of the whole Survivor Series card, I'm going to ask, of course, we'll run through the card. I got to ask you up front, because I don't know how I didn't ask this before we even started. The releases that WWE has been doing over the last year have been just insane. The number and the caliber of stars that they've been releasing. Now, it's not one size fits all. I'm sure there were a lot more issues with individual X than individual Y, but they're putting this all under the umbrella of budget cuts. Ah, it's budget cuts. It's budget cuts. It's budget cuts. And the latest round, of course, was headed by by John Morrison, of the entire Hit Row group gone. We had Jackson Ryker gone, you know, Drake Maverick gone. So, like, what do you think when you look back at this and you look back at the last really 12 months since this all started, Braun Strowman getting released and it shocked the world, Bray Wyatt gone. What the hell do you think this is? Do you think this is them shoring up things to make it look good for from their financials standpoint to have a company like Disney buy them? Like what? I mean, I don't know beyond that. Like what is this? Do you have any clue?
No, and that's kind of the scary part about it, right? Like when I sit here, even as a fan, just sitting here and reading, you know, the releases after releases, like, because the second group was just 2 weeks ago. It was like 2 weeks, I believe it was like on November 4th, and then on Thursday they released a second batch just this month. So it's like, you, of course, as a fan, you feel like, how am I supposed to get invested in these characters? They keep bringing them on, starting them, taking them off. They don't debut on the brand that they got drafted to, or you haven't seen them for months and they're just cut for no reason besides the like you said, the budget cut excuse. But it's like, so as a fan, you sit there and like, damn, you know, like for us, like who, you know, like I said, how you're supposed to get invested in. But I can't even imagine how they feel as performers. Like, I would be a nervous wreck every day and just paranoid. Like, I think if you're not a champion, like, you would probably be on pins and needles every day. And, like, every time your phone rings, you're like, oh, crap, is this the call? At this point, because just like you said, with, like, your Braun Strowmans and your Bray Wyatt. And, yeah, you know, a lot of people have said a lot of stuff about, like a Braun Strowman and a Bray Wyatt, like, behind the scenes and stuff like that. But, look, I don't know. We may never know the full story. And those things are kind of like irrelevant to me. It's because like Vince has always been quoted as saying like perception is reality. So to us on the outside, it looks really crappy. And it looks like you don't care about your talent. And of course, like if you don't care, how are we supposed to care type thing? But it's more than that. It's like it kind of takes the fun out of everything else, too. You know what I mean? So especially with like a Hit Row, like you literally just drafted them back in, I think it was like October 1st, and they're already gone. Like, why? Like, why? If it's really a budget cut, like, I would love for someone to sit down and everyone they've released going back from, like, today, all the way back to, like, the beginning of 2020, we'll say, and go over everyone who's been released and all the resources that they invested in them for the past 8 months prior to them being released. And like all that was wasted, because like you look like Eva Marie, and Lord knows, like I don't care about Eva Marie, but like all of the vignettes and everything and the hype that was put into her, for her to come back and do that, like you sit there and you cut these people for budget cuts, and I don't know, like it's just a waste all around. And I don't know, man. And it's kind of surprising because then you see like a John Morrison who was literally just involved in one of like the big angles at WrestleMania, you know, with that bunny and everything like that, who did what they wanted him to do with the zombie crap at, I think it was, what was that, Backlash or whatever pay-per-view that was?
WrestleMania Backlash.
Yes, that's what it was. That's why I fought off. Yes, jeez. WrestleMania Backlash. Yeah. So like you have people like him who literally did everything that they asked, did that stupid Moist TV stuff, mm-hmm. Johnny Dripship, all that, and he's gone. Like, I don't know. It's like you, it kind of just takes the fun out of everything, man. Especially with the size of people and like. You literally release people on the same day that you're recording, you know, like you're promoting Record Profits. So I get it on the business side. Like, I'm not an idiot, you know, like none of us are. You know, like, mm-hmm. you get, like, they obviously have a goal in mind. And if that is selling, then, you know, whatever. Like, I can get that. But, like, you can't cut budget somewhere else. Like, your talent is what drives your product. Like, I don't know. Like, it's scary, man. It's scary. And then, like, it's... It sucks because, like, some of the memes you see, like, with the things like the video game and stuff like that, like, what is that roster going to look like when it actually comes out? And it sucks that, like, you have to think about stuff like that, man. But I don't know. It's just – it's a weird time to be a viewer of WWE, to say the least, because – if they are selling, I think that's terrifying in and of itself because, like, let's say they were to sell to Disney. Like, what would that look like? Like, WWE as a product, what would that day-to-day or day-to-day, week-to-week television look like? You know, like, that could be very scary.
I don't want to venture to guess what Disney would do with it. I'm scared that it would become even more cartoonish than it is at times. I mean, maybe I'm relating it too much to Disney and cartoons and things. I don't know, but I would be a little fearful. I mean, I guess I'll deal with that when it comes. As it stands right now, though, we look at, and I just did a quick Google search just in 2021 to see how many wrestlers they've released, and it's 80 wrestlers. Jesus. In 2021 alone, including we forget all these names because it's such rapid fire. Bo Dallas, Tucker, Mojo Rawley, Lana, Buddy Murphy, Aleister Black, Ruby Riott, Tony Nese, Tyler Breeze, Fandango, Nia Jax, Braun Strowman, Mia Yim, Keith Lee, Karrion Kross. I mean, we forget about it. It's like, oh, that's right. I have never, ever, ever, ever seen this many individuals so quickly released. There's something going on that we're not understanding or knowing about because the budget cut narrative is true in a small part. Of course, if you cut talent, by definition, you're cutting your budget. You are saving money. So they're not lying to us, and it's an easy thing to say because, yeah, we're not lying to our constituents.
And
we're
true.
Not lying. Yeah, exactly.
It is
but
true.
It's also the most generic blanket of a response that you can possibly give without giving specifics. And what are they going to say, right? Like, well, we didn't have anything for Braun Strowman. We have personal issues with Bray Wyatt. He's got drug addiction. He's got mental health. They can't say that. So they're just going to cover everybody and paint everybody with the same brush and say it's budget cuts. And I totally get why they say that. I'm not mad at WWE for saying that. If yeah. I was them and I was a PR representative, I would say, yeah, we can't get into details. We have to say budget cuts. It's not untrue, but we're not going to get into the nitty gritty. It just is not, it's not a good look. It's not a good PR move. We just say it and move on. And people can be left to speculate. And you know what? I'm sure there are some people that are straight out just 100% budget cuts, but I'm sure there are also people that they've had a lot of issues with behind the scenes, creatively, maybe mental health, reliability. I'm sure there's other factors for everybody. Not everyone is a straight budget cut. But if I was an employee of WWE, or excuse me, a contractor of WWE, yeah, like I mentioned this on my show last night that, you know, I like you just said too, I would be looking over my shoulder. I'd be sleeping with one eye open, waiting for that call, waiting for
I'd
someone.
I'd never answer my phone.
No, I wouldn't. If I saw, you know, Stamford, Connecticut, or I saw, you know, Vince McMahon's there, I'd be like, yeah, F that. Like, I'm not. I'm not picking this stuff up. If they want a future endeavor me, like, let them voicemail. Let Johnny Ace, you know, send me that. Oh, hey, kid. Yeah, we're just going to move in a different direction. You know, like, and let him go ahead
that's
and
good.
Do that. Yeah, yeah. So, but that is, to me, the most toxic environment you can possibly create.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office.
More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Like, why would you want to work in a place that, like you just said, unless you're in the elite of the elite, like a champion, like a Roman Reigns or a Seth Rollins or, Drew McIntyre even, unless you're in that echelon, you're going to be looking over your shoulder because they've shown you that they don't care what perceived status you have, that everybody is dispensable. That's a bad message to send to the talent there, to the people that apparently want to come up from NXT. If I was in NXT, screw that. I want to stay in NXT. They haven't even been very good about translating people from the main roster or from NXT to main roster. It's actually been working better the other way. When people go back to NXT, people excel. So this whole thing, that's why I'm looking at this going, there's a larger picture we're missing, because when I look at their financials, okay, COVID, wonderful. We all went through it. Every company went through it. Yet WWE is the only one, even though they're back on the road making more money, that continues to cut talent like it's their job. And when I look at their financials from what they're getting from Saudi Arabia, they're making 50 to 55 million in payments per event. They got $1 billion from the Peacock deal. They made $1 billion on the Fox deal back in 2018. They're not short on cash. Plus, they're now developing a new WWE headquarters. So I don't want to hear.
Yes, I saw that.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think that was from our great listener and kind of our co-host, Amanda Jin, who put that out there. And so credit to you, Amanda. And I saw that and I'm like, hey, something doesn't smell right here, right? Like, if you have all these millions to pour into a new headquarters, but yet you're cutting people, which, by the way, before the holiday, also kind of crappy on their part, but you're cutting all this talent, something is up. I just don't know if it's for a big sale. This would absolutely look like one, but I don't know if it's going to come to fruition or if they're just restructuring and reimagining the company. I don't know. Whatever Nick Khan is doing.
Yeah, and like one of the last things I'll say about that too is, if they are looking to sell the company, like let's say like that is the end goal, and let's say maybe 2 years from now, like let's say they all got together, Nikon, Vince, all of them, they got together, sat down, like a plan, like they wouldn't sell the company by X date, you know, whatever, for whatever reason. If that's the case, like and that's like the goal and the true reason why they're cutting all this talent, like if I'm, let's say I'm Disney, right, or I'm one of these companies that would be interested in buying WWE as a whole. And I'm looking at the reputation that they've generated and pretty much like made on themselves for the past X amount of years, like depending on, and of course, I'm not, you know, the history is the history, but like just within these past 3 years alone or 2 years alone, if you want to just look at COVID, like, I don't know, man, like the reputation and the lack of roster that you're going to have. And yes, of course, like WWE still has a stacked roster. And this kind of just shows you too, like how like flooded they were with talent. From back when, what was it, 2-3 years ago when they started hoarding, like, pretty much everyone under the sun. So I get that they probably did have too many people at some point, but I don't know, man. And of course, people are still going to be interested no matter what, but and maybe they wouldn't care about something like this. But to me, like, if I see a company, like, just gutting their roster, why would I come in and buy the bare minimum talent-wise at that point? Because obviously, yes, WWE, they have made movies in the past, and they are a good entertainment hub, and they are, like, top-notch in production and all that stuff. So credit where credit is due, but it's World Wrestling Entertainment. Like, they wrestle. Like, each week you have wrestling matches and shows, not movies on Raw every week. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know how I would feel coming in and having like a bare minimum roster, because especially at that point, like the majority of everyone who you've cut is going to be locked up with AEW or MLW or GCW now, who's gaining momentum and Impact, you know, who's still around, and maybe ROH will still be here at some point. So it's dangerous. So I would kind of like look at that too. And like I said, maybe I'm off there. Maybe I'm just like too much of a like an actual wrestling fan and not more of a business person looking at it. But to me, I wouldn't be excited to come in and just purchase a company who just gutted its roster. Like, I would have wanted the roster they had 2 years ago. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then I would cut people. But I mean, again, like, I don't even know. Like, we don't even know if a sale is a thing or what. But I don't know. I don't know, man. It's weird. But I have a weird feeling about it, too.
Well, the one thing we can say, and this will be the final thing I say, too, and then we'll get to Survivor Series, is that the one good thing coming of all of this, at least from a fan's selfish perspective, not that everybody's going to be able to find work. I mean, 80-plus people that are probably not going to be able to just, oh, AEW's going to pay me what I was getting in WWE. Unfortunately, no. You know, I do feel for them on that. But the one good thing, selfishly from a fan's perspective, is that what WWE's doing is essentially shoring up all of the rosters for every other wrestling promotion that's relevant right now. Like, mm-hmm. they're making available a massive talent pool for AEW, of course, the hottest promotion right now in professional wrestling, AEW. Then you of course you have Ring of Honor, you have Impact, you have New Japan. You know, you have what's the one that Jarrett runs? I think the one that he runs, Global Force.
So. Isn't that still around?
I thought it was.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
So.
And then NWA is still here too. Like, they're still trucking along. So there's a ton out there.
Yeah, and that's the one thing is you're going to be able to give these promotions. And I don't want to say WWE leftovers because that's not fair, because that to me implies that WWE just used all their talent up. They've got nothing left. I think that's not the case in 99% of these people, is that WWE didn't know what to do with them, didn't know how to monetize them. And now you're going to have them available for other promotions to find out how to do that. And I think AEW has done that, you know, not 100% of the time, but has done a nice job at least with some of the talent that WWE has given away. So, all right, well, let's get into Survivor Series here. I mean, this is a topic that is, you can make your own one or two or three episodes out of it, you know, but let's get to Survivor Series and start with the bottom of the card here and work our way up. And that is, that's right, the 25-person dual brand battle royal. It's kind of a preview of the Royal Rumble in a month and a half, but, or 2 months rather. And it's in a tribute to The Rock's 25th anniversary of his debut as Rocky Maivia. And, Sami Zayn, I guess, would be the favorite to this. I don't have a list of individuals that are in this matchup. They didn't provide it to me, but I mean, looking at pretty much anybody that doesn't have a match is going to be included in this. Like, it's everyone else, for the men anyway. So I'm going to go with Sami Zayn just because he's the one that Sonya Deville is talking to when she thought of this idea out of just thin air, that she's going to create this battle royal in honor of The Rock. And originally I'm thinking, is this a setup for The Rock to return? Like, you know, because I haven't heard The Rock's name mentioned explicitly on TV in a while, and it is a 25th anniversary. It's a nice round number. It's in Brooklyn, a massive venue. I guess it's possible The Rock could make a cameo appearance and give somebody a rock bottom and make the crowd go home happy. I could see actually that happening, and that's what I'll go with. That's my prediction. I'm going to say Sami Zayn wins this. It's probably going to be in the middle of the show. He brags, gets on the mic, runs down everybody, and runs down The Rock of how he's greater than The Rock ever was, all this stuff. And out comes The Rock, gives him a rock bottom, people's elbow, and he walks off. The crowd goes home happy. That's my prediction. What about you?
Yeah, I was actually I looked it up to see if there is some type of list, and there is like a tentative list, it looks like, from PWI Insider, but it's like you said, it's essentially like everyone who's not on the card, but it's like pretty much all tag teams. Like, you have AJ Styles, Omos, Otis, R-Truth, Ricochet, of course, Sami Zayn, Robert Roode, pretty much everyone who you would expect, you know? So looking through everyone there, I would love to choose someone else to be different from me on this one.
Out of 25 people?
You're gonna... Yeah, right. You know, I could go AJ Styles because I could see AJ Styles doing that role. He's still a heel. You know, I could see him being, you know, like, you know, winning the battle royal for whatever reason they're winning this battle royal. And him just, you know, pretty much like bad-mouthing The Rock or whatever. And it's kind of weird that this is in tribute to The Rock. You know, I mean, obviously I know the number 25 for the 25 year, but this is kind of weird. Like,
It is weird. It was a very bizarre way to tribute to The Rock. The Rock was not known for Royal Rumble or Battle Royals. Yeah, like, it is weird. Yeah.
All right, you know, whatever. But Yeah, I mean, like, you would have thought they would have just themed the entire, whatever. But yeah, I'll just choose Sami Zayn and go with you with your whole layout there, because right. I am one of those people. I am kind of expecting The Rock to show up. So it would be, if you're not going to just have him go straight to like a Roman Reigns type of interference, which obviously we'll get to. I could totally see him coming out and screwing, or not screwing over, but, you know, rock bottoming Sami Zayn for whatever reason and whatever crap Sami says.
Oh, yeah,
which
yeah.
will be fun to hear, too.
That's going to be to see if, again, in our fantasy scenario that we always make up, I do think that it'll be fun to see Sami Zayn, because he's so good on the microphone, to see him kind of go toe to toe with The Rock, run him down, like, you know, feel like he's the superior man and just have The Rock just shut him down. It'd be a fun dynamic, and having Sami Zayn get rock bottom. He's not going to lose anything, at least in terms of his status or rather his ranking on SmackDown. I mean, Sami Zayn isn't exactly the strongest pushed guy right now, which is kind of a shame, because I think Sami Zayn could actually be world champion, honestly. That's my scenario. Okay, you and I are on the same wavelength there, so let's move on. United States champion Damian Priest versus the Intercontinental champion Shinsuke Nakamura. Ashley? Go for it.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Damian Priest on this one. I just feel like he has more momentum going into this. And I feel like, especially with the kind of the direction that they've been going with Priest, with the new entrance music and just like the tougher and like a little bit like an edgier side to him, I kind of feel like they're going to go Priest on this one. And unfortunately, like, I hate to say it, but like Shinsuke can take a loss here and not really be that big of a deal. And honestly, like, I can see Priest being a world champion at some point, maybe like a year and a half from now. There's just something about him, especially like with this new music. Like, I'm a fan of it, because I didn't like the bow and arrow thing. Like, it just didn't really make sense to me. Like, you know, like, the fire was cool, but I don't know. Like, I like this new direction that he's going in, and it's not really going to be any type of loss really to Shinsuke.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, the arrow thing didn't make sense. I mean, are you an archer? Like, what's the implication? Right. Like, what is there a target I'm missing? So I'm with you. Like, and I was never really a fan of his character, but whatever they did to him 3-4 weeks ago, and by the way, he hasn't been seen since, at least not on the Hulu version of Raw. I haven't really seen much from him, and I was excited after he laid out, one of the members of Retribution or former Retribution, was it T-Bar or Mace?
I think it was T-Bar.
T-Bar, yeah.
I think it was T-Bar.
And he went insane, and the look he had on his face, and I was like, this is awesome. And then Apollo Crews came out and challenged him, and that really kind of went nowhere. And I guess maybe they'll pick it up after Survivor Series. A lot of programs, by the way, are going to be picked up after Survivor Series, and they were alluded to. But I think that Damian Priest probably does come out on top as well. I mean, you have Shinsuke Nakamura, who's not exactly super protected. You know, I know he won this past week on SmackDown, but it was kind of I hate saying fluke win, but with the roll-up, maybe it is. Damian Priest ends up getting the victory here. I think it's the right move to make. I love Shinsuke, but it's clear that at this point they've had him for so long that they're not going to make him exactly the focal point of the show anymore. And I think Damian Priest is kind of an unproven talent on the main roster that I think that they could really get a lot of mileage out of. And I really loved his new kind of tweaked character of just the insane Damian Priest, which they never explained how or why that happened. And it just all of a sudden he's just got this black eye makeup on and he's just, you know, insane. And I'm like, all right, you've got me. I'm hooked. They never explained why or how or what triggered this. But, you know, maybe they never will, which is kind of crazy. But at least I did enjoy this tenfold over his Archer gimmick. And that's to me, you know, the most interesting part. But yeah, Damian Priest comes out on top here. I don't think there's anything like shady about this victory. It seems to be babyface. Nobody cheats to win. It's just an elevation for Damian Priest. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah.
Raw Tag Team Champions, RK-Bro versus SmackDown Tag Team Champions, the Usos. I'll take this first. This is hard are harder than the last one because RK Bro, they're a hot tag team. They're starting to cool off a little bit. Maybe it's just kind of an ebb and flow. I'm not ready for them to break up yet. I don't think the merchandise sales are ready for them to break up yet. I don't think WWE is yet. But Randy's been getting pretty pissed off at Matt Riddle over the last several weeks of not listening to him. But they still think they have a good chemistry, and I'm still on board for it. But the Usos represent Roman Reigns, who is the hottest commodity that professional wrestling has right now, arguably, depending on what promotion you're looking at. But RK-Bro, I'm trying to think of how this would play out. Probably the Usos get the victory here. This is really difficult. I think the Usos win by some kind of cheating and or Matt Riddle once again not listening to Randy Orton. Randy Orton goes off on Riddle again, maybe tomorrow night on Raw. Maybe it comes to blows where Randy looks like he's going to maybe hit an RKO or knock out Riddle. And it doesn't happen. So I think it's just another evolution of just Randy being frustrated with Matt Riddle, eventually leading to their split, which I think is probably going to happen in January, February timeframe, leading into a WrestleMania match. So that's my prediction. Usos win either by cheating or by having Matt Riddle tag himself in when he shouldn't have or something like that to piss off Randy inadvertently.
Yeah, I could definitely see that, but I think I'm going to go the opposite way on this one. I think I'm going to pick RK-Bro to win here. I could absolutely see what you just laid out there play out, especially because I don't know if you saw Randy Orton's tweet from, I think it was earlier today or maybe yesterday, that he sent out pretty much saying that he has saw a statistic that Survivor Series is going to be, like, he's going to set a record for having the most matches at a pay-per-view event throughout his, like, 20-year career, almost 20-year career. And if he has a match on Raw, then he'll be the man to have, like, the most matches on Raw ever in history. So that's kind of cool to think about. And you sometimes, like, at least for me personally, like, you forget, like, truly how long Randy Orton has been around.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because, like, man, like, he's just been so good lately, like, probably at, like, the top of his career in some aspects. But I think that, and like you said, too, I definitely see it being like Orton versus Riddle at Mania. I just think they could have like kind of like to similar to like an Orton and Styles match at Mania. I think it just could play out so well there. But I think that RK-Bro is gonna win it here. I think that they're gonna just get around the Usos somehow, because we've kind of seen too how like, and yes, like you said, like it's tricky because the Usos do represent Roman, right? So it is like that is like pretty much the main caveat whenever there's an Usos match now. It's like Roman's in the back there, but I think we've seen that the Usos can kind of take a loss and Roman can kind of, give them hell in the back and then just kind of move on. So that's why I'm picking RK-Bro here. I think they need to win a little bit more than the Usos and then they just kind of move on. And we may not even see Roman address it because Roman has so much going on too.
Yeah, that's true. And, that's why this one's so tough. You can make a nice argument either way. This one is a toss up. Like you literally just throw a coin in the air. It's really difficult. There's no right way to book this, I really don't believe, because both can take a loss, both can take a win. Neither one is really in desperate need of a victory or can be hurt by a loss. So yeah, like this is if you're betting on this one, stay the hell away. That's a really, really tough one to pick. So all right, moving on, the women's 5-on-5 elimination match, which is Team Raw, Bianca Belair, Liv Morgan, Rhea Ripley, Zelina Vega, Queen Zelina Vega, Carmella versus Team SmackDown, which is Sasha Banks, Shayna Baszler, Shotzi, Natalya, and Toni Storm. I think Team Raw take this one. You have Bianca Belair, who is the biggest star on the Raw roster, arguably maybe the biggest star in the entire company. I've sung her praises so many times on here, I feel like I'm a broken record, but she's so much fun to watch. She is, she's somehow turned the most egotistical gimmick of EST into a kind of a beloved character. She seems authentic. She doesn't stutter on the mic. She doesn't speak too quickly. Her presence is very good. Her athleticism is just insane. Everything about Bianca, I'm a big fan of. Now, I say that being the easy prediction is, to me, Bianca Belair is the sole survivor. But the looming shadow is Doudrop, right? Like Doudrop and her have had a lot of issues in the last few weeks. And I think eventually we're going to get a Doudrop versus Bianca Belair matchup, which is going to be fun because I want to see Bianca Belair do a KOD to Doudrop. I want to see what that looks like,
yeah.
Which I think she's strong enough to do, but I'd be very interested to see that. And the crowd's going to go crazy. But that's kind of the wild card for me that could throw a total wrench in this is we have Bianca on fire. She's, you know, eliminated. She, maybe it's like a 3-on-1 situation and it's just Bianca versus, you know, the heels on SmackDown. And she gets one victory, another victory, and she looks like she's going to overcome and Doudrop comes in to screw her over. But the problem with that is if we're supposed to believe this is brand supremacy, then why would Doudrop screw her own brand? Again, we're supposed to care about the brand. Why would she do that just to get at Bianca Belair and maybe get scolded by Adam Pearce on Raw? I mean, I still think Bianca is going to be the sole survivor here. She's just been on a roll. And Bianca does actually need a victory or two. I feel like she's taken losses over the last couple months that not have hurt her, but have not – I think it's time for her to get back on a roll, get back onto a bit of a momentum train and get going again. And I think Bianca Belair winning here would be a nice moment for her to add to her resume. So what do you think?
Man, that last part there, you literally just stole right out of my brain. Like, that's sorry. What I was going to leave. No. But I obviously agree with you on this one. I'm going Team Raw, but for the exact reason that you just kind of left off with there at the end with Bianca just really needs a win. Like, out of everyone here on both teams, she's the one who needs that win the most. I mean, she's not in dire need or anything like that, but like you said, like, she's like a lot of high profile matches. She's taken the loss in recently. So this, you know, if we're going to really put some steam in bulk into Survivor Series, you know, then we, you know, have Bianca and have her look good here. You know, like, everyone, you always have like that one breakout in a Survivor Series match, it seems like, right? So this could kind of be Bianca Belair's moment and just kind of have her run like rum shot through like you get down to like the last three on the SmackDown side, have Bianca fight from below, you know, like have it be 1-on-3 and just have her just go through them. So it sucks too, because like you have like people like Shayna Baszler on Team SmackDown who just like, I hope after Survivor Series, they kind of take more seriously and kind of push her more going forward. But I think another reason, too, that Bianca is going to win, I can see Shotzi kind of screwing over Sasha here. I think what they've been doing with Shotzi and Sasha on SmackDown lately, especially this past Friday, I can kind of see Shotzi doing something backhanded here with what Banks did. And did you watch SmackDown already
yet?
Yep. Okay, so I was so confused because I thought Banks was now a babyface and we're supposed to be liking her and everything like that. And then they shake hands. Like, I didn't think obviously Shotzi was going to extend her hand and shake her hand. Like, I thought Shotzi was going to be one to do something. And then it's Sasha. So, and with a backstabber nonetheless. So it's just like, what's going on? And like, and I'm just so confused. Like, and Sonya pretty much like no sold it when she got back to the top of the ramp. So I'm just like, what am I supposed to think? Like, I thought it would have been cool if they actually ended with a handshake, because you never see that, especially what had been happening leading up to it. So I think for nothing else, like, Shotzi has every right now to kind of go back after Sasha after that. So I mean, I would, but I don't know. I think that's kind of going to be the downfall for Team SmackDown here. So Team Raw wins, and if nothing else, they probably need this one as a show. If we're really going show versus brand, Team Raw needs a win.
Yeah, it does. I mean, for whatever the heck that's worth, I guess they do. You know, like you said, though, that was a really weird segment, too, where we had the heel follow through on the handshake. And yeah, Sasha technically did, too. But then she's the one who's apparently the default babyface, which, by the way, we never got an explanation why she's a babyface. What, because she got attacked by Shotzi? How many times has Sasha Banks just inexplicably attacked somebody and we're supposed to feel sympathy for her because
Shotzi? That was supposed to be Shotzi's turn.
Yeah.
Heel turn on Sasha.
Exactly.
So if Shotzi was turning because she attacked Sasha, then Sasha should be the baby face. But then
heel turns that have happened over the last like 6 weeks in WWE. I mean, you can make a whole roster out of the heel turns. It's
oh my God,
crazy. Yeah. Like, no one's baby face. You could argue, oh, Sasha. Well, not anymore. Like, Sasha Banks. And I would argue Sasha Banks is not a good baby face anyway. I think she's just a natural heel, the way she laughs, the way that she talks, her in ring, like everything about her. And I love Sasha Banks, but she is screams heel to me.
Oh, yeah.
That said, I think you're also hopefully going to have a nice showing song from Toni Storm. I'm a huge Toni Storm in-ring fan. Yes. She also cut a nice promo this week on SmackDown, speaking about Charlotte Flair, and Charlotte Flair gave her a warning that you're next. And Toni Storm felt like she stood up to Charlotte. And she felt like she held her own. I really enjoyed that promo by Toni Storm. On the main roster, that was her best promo yet. And, you know, of course, you have Natalya on there, who's just kind of a warm body to fill the spot. Sorry, Natalya, but, I mean, I really doubt she's going to make any kind of big impact at this point. But, you know, this to me, look, this is a Bianca Belair show. It's a Shotzi and Sasha Banks disintegration that's going to likely cause both of them to somehow get eliminated. And that's going to lead to Bianca Belair, I think, being maybe not the sole survivor, but at least one of the two. Maybe Liv Morgan also could be in there in the conversation, as she is also challenging Becky Lynch for the Raw Women's Championship at the next pay-per-view, which, again, is day one, as far as we know, January 1st. So I think Liv Morgan should also have a really nice showing, because if you were going to put her in the championship picture, you have to have her as looking as strong as possible now to make her feel like a credible threat. So in another world, I could also see Doudrop screwing over Bianca and Liv Morgan's a sole survivor. I could see that too. And definitely. So, all right. Well, before I go on, is there anything else you wanted to say on that, or are you good to move?
No, that was
okay. Good. Men's 5-on-5 elimination match, Team Raw, which is Seth Rollins, Finn Balor, KO, Bobby Lashley, and Austin Theory. I don't think anybody saw that coming. Versus Team SmackDown, Drew McIntyre, King Xavier Woods, Jeff Hardy, Happy Corbin, and Sheamus. Ashley, I won't steal your thunder. You steal mine. Go ahead.
Yeah, man, I appreciate that. This one is kind of tricky too, because again, with nothing really being at stake here, it's just kind of hard with both batches of guys here. Like, who? This one is more difficult for me, I honestly, like, than the women's one was, just because, like, the guys involved, like, they all need wins, I feel like. So maybe like a Baron Corbin doesn't, but like, I don't know. This one is really tricky. So I think since I went with Raw, just to be different, I'm going to give SmackDown a win on this one. And honestly, like, I don't really have a good reason, to be honest with you. It's I just feel like SmackDown is going to win this one. I know this is probably a crappy answer, but I think, I mean, if you look at it individually, like, if no one else, Drew McIntyre, I think needs a solid win. So I can kind of see him being the breakout star, if you will, in this match here. I can see him and maybe Balor locking up for a good majority of the match, but I kind of feel like Drew is going to be the sole survivor to kind of give him more shine and kind of like in a Bianca Belair light, he in his own respect needs a big win as well. So I think this would kind of be solid for him if he were the sole survivor, at least get a good shine in this match. And I think maybe I'm kind of crazy here, but I think Jeff Hardy too. I think he needs to have a good showing here, just because this is why, you know, I may sound crazy, but I feel like they could really gear him up to have him be Roman Reigns' opponent at maybe like a Rumble. If you don't have Brock, if like for instance Brock is truly going to be your Mania match and you need someone that's high profile for a Royal Rumble, I could see a Jeff Hardy sliding in there, because Jeff Hardy, yes, like if you look at his track history within the past year, like his win and loss is probably not that favorable, but Jeff Hardy is, at least in my eyes, and I may be biased because he was my favorite growing up, or one of them, but I feel like he is one of those that, while it's not ideal, he can take those losses, and then if you give him a good solid month of build and focus and shine and highlight all the goods and all the feel-good moments and everything in Jeff's history, and with the character that Roman is now, I think that they can have a pretty solid match. So I just feel like SmackDown kind of needs this more, because when you look at Raw, like, I mean, Raw is the team itself. Like, the Raw team is kind of like its own little cluster. Like, and looking at the lineup, like, Theory is just so random. Like, I think part of me is happy for him to get in a match like this since he's so young and everything. But it's just like I'm going to be interested to see how he plays into everything. But I don't know. That was a long-winded answer, but I'm going SmackDown here.
Well, yeah, you stole my thunder partially, and I guess it's tit for tat here.
It's payback, right?
Yeah, no, it is. It's all right. So Austin Theory is bizarre, and I don't understand why he's there. I mean, again, I have no problem with him there. He's a really good in-ring performer. I think his new character is obnoxious in a good way. The taking the selfies, all that's very culturally relevant. I get that. But apparently the pre-qualification to be on this Raw team, according to Adam Pearce, was to be a former world champion. And then all of a sudden,
just ask Dominic.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, it just right. I mean, maybe WWE didn't care, didn't think, or hope we wouldn't notice again that that was something Adam Pearce said, but it was, and I'm not ranting about it. It's just another one of those things that they just overlook the detail of, or don't care, or they feel the fans aren't smart enough to notice or care about. And it's fine. It is what it is. Just a little side note there. But as far as my prediction, I'm going with SmackDown 2, and I think it's going to ultimately be Drew McIntyre getting the victory as either the sole survivor or one of two. And like you said, it could also be Jeff. Jeff is a guy that could be another opponent for Roman, at least a stepping stone. Of course, not somebody that's going to beat Roman, but a believable character that could take Roman down. With his legacy, he's got name brand value. He is a star. He's an established star. He can still go in the ring, which is insane, given all the mileage on his body. But Drew, out of all people, do I think need the victory the most. Now, Drew's been getting victory after victory, but it's been in these kind of weird open challenges that it feels they don't know what to do with Drew right now. They're just kind of holding steady, you know, steering the course. Yeah. And I felt like that on his last couple months on Raw too, where they didn't know quite what the hell to do with him. And he's like, you know, either doing something just either behind the scenes talking about war heroes, or he's having a random match on Raw that has no consequence whatsoever. And he's kind of doing the same thing on SmackDown. And I think that it's time to get Drew maybe back into the conversation for maybe a Roman Reigns and Drew McIntyre matchup at hell, maybe even Royal Rumble. I mean, if they're not going to go WrestleMania, depending on what Roman and WWE has in store for Roman at WrestleMania. I don't know their plan. Maybe The Rock does end up doing something. We'll talk about that in a couple of minutes. But to me, Drew is the one standing tall. I think he needs it. And for God's sakes, please, I don't need to see Drew McIntyre doing the Jeff Hardy jive. Please.
Oh, God.
I don't need it. I know that Drew McIntyre is a true wrestling fan. I understand that. And we're supposed to, he's having a good time. I don't need to see the Jeff Hardy juke and jive from Drew McIntyre. Please, for the love of God.
We're good.
Yeah, I'm good. So, yeah, I'm with you. Drew wins and SmackDown wins here. All right. Now we get to the de facto main event that it's not the true main event of the show, but boy, oh boy, when you talk about fan interest, organic fan interest, there are so many layers to this that we could really break down. And I don't want to spend a ton of time on this, but this all began with the bizarre title exchange that then came out afterwards as well. That segment didn't go as planned, and there was some real heat, and Becky threw the title at Charlotte, and Charlotte, you know, that whole thing, and there was an exchange backstage that we heard about, and all of these different things, and fans are like, whoa, wait, there's real heat? Cool, let's tune in. And then you hear that they're going to be facing each other at Survivor Series, and that makes it all the more interesting, because then you're thinking, whoa, could there be liberties taken? What are the promos going to be like? You know, are they going to take some real shots like Nia Jax and Charlotte did a few months ago? Like, what is this going to be? And WWE this past week seemed to capitalize a little bit on that without outright saying, hey, there are some real issues backstage, not just on camera. Of course, they can't say that, but they put a whole video package together that was really well done. I got to say, the video team did a really nice job of recapping the whole history of Charlotte and Becky, at least on a high level. A really nice job. And it really revived this rivalry that if this had not happened, if all this organic stuff had not happened, I think that fans would have been like, oh, we've seen this so many times. Now, no one's saying that. Nobody is out there saying, my God, we've seen this. Can we not see this again? Nobody's saying that. Number one, it's been two years since these two have faced each other. Becky took a year and a half off. They work really well together. And now you got this other element of, is this a work? Is it a shoot? Was it a shoot? And now they're turning it into a work. What are they doing? You know, like, so that element of, is there something real going on? or not couldn't be is up for debate. As fans, we're left here to speculate. We have no idea if that's truly the case or if WWE meant to put something out there like that, knowing that would get the fans riled up. And now we're talking about this extra element of realism when it was all a work from the beginning. So it's really hard to tell what's real here and what's not. Honestly, I'm a big fan of, like, I wish I still believed in Santa Claus, and therefore I'm going to go with there's some real elements here because to me it makes this more interesting. I don't want to, you know, pull the curtain back too much. I'm going to make this more interesting to myself. Long-winded answer, as you said, this to me is a hell of an interesting matchup that I ultimately think Becky Lynch comes out on top for. But it's all to me, it's not even the winner. It's the match itself. It's the journey to the ending of the matchup that's the most interesting because of the – are there going to be some liberties taken? You know, what do you hear on the microphone? Did they say things to each other that you're not supposed to hear? That's the most interesting to me, not necessarily who's going to win, but I do think Becky Lynch wins. Okay, what are your thoughts on this whole thing? What's going on and who wins?
Yes, so – this obviously for me was like the hardest one to choose out of the whole lineup here because it's Charlotte has always been the one that has always been, you know, the perception is that she's protected. She obviously has the most championship victories. Like she's Charlotte Flair, you know? So the idea has always been like, you know, it's Charlotte and then everyone else, you know, like booking wise and stuff like that, you know, regardless on if you believe that or not. But that's been like pretty much like the strongest narrative out there for her or one of them. So to see how everything has played out with them as a pair, especially like you said, with the just phenomenal video package that the production team put together. It was just so well done. And gosh, like you could have not been watching any of the weekly TV shows and seen that video package and been good to go for Sunday for that match. So it was just so well done. But I don't know. Like this one is tough because part of me is, and I'm kind of on the same bandwagon with you in the respect that I want to believe that this is, you know, real or it's that something did happen. And I don't want to say, like, I don't think they hate each other. I don't, and you know, like, who am I to know this stuff, right? Like how two females feel about each other, especially who are best friends. So I don't know, but like, I think with wrestling in and of itself too, like you have to have like that certain basic level of respect for everyone because you're in there to do a job. And I don't, in some interviews, they've both said that, you know, they don't trust each other at this point. But I just feel like if you're going to get in there and have a match with someone, especially at this level, like you have to have a basic level of foundation of trust there. Right. So I hope it looks as stiff and as rough and just as nasty as it can be. Like part of me wishes this was like a no DQ match or something like that, just so they can go like balls to the wall and just do anything. Right. But I don't know, like part of me is stuck between like they're not going to have like a decisive winner. And that's kind of crappy because part of me is like I could see them doing that because they want to revisit this maybe at Mania if they need it or have that in their back pocket for whenever they need to pull it out. But part of me too is like they may feel like behind the scene wise, I feel like maybe they may think that they need to make Becky happy or just make sure she's good. And at this point, if they were to lose Charlotte whenever her contract expires, whether it's a year from now or X amount of years from now, like I kind of see them maybe putting more priority on Becky going forward, too. So I think I'm going to go with you. Becky wins here. I don't feel like Charlotte's going to win. I feel like it's either going to be a Becky win. And even if Becky cheats or does something like holding the ropes like she's done or whatever, I could see something like that or it just being like a DQ finish to begin with.
Yes, and I think that since the unknown of Charlotte, her long-term stay in WWE, when does her contract end? Is she?
Which is bizarre to say. Yeah. Like, if you would have told me this like a year ago, that there's like all this going on with Charlotte and like question on if she was gonna, like, it's just kind of bizarre, man, right? Or am I just like, why is no one like as shocked about this as I am?
Like, well, we've been so desensitized to all the, I think if we didn't have all those releases over the last year, this would be more of a story. But since we've had top names be released, you know, it's a story, but it's not as big as it should be had this otherwise not happened. So to me, Charlotte Flair, her future is unknown in WWE. You know, she does have Andrade in AEW. They seem to be like, you know, attached at the hip. It seems if you only watch their Instagram, you would think that they are just inseparable. Like, I mean, they are obsessed with one another almost to the point of like kind of sickening. Where I mean, and almost inappropriate in terms of like pictures they post. I mean, but whatever. That's their relationship. You know, have at it. But I got to say, I'm sure that is a draw for her. Like, if they're truly that in love with one another, and she's in one promotion, he's in the other, and he's telling her what a different environment it is, and the creative control, and it's less stress, it's not micromanaged. You'd fit in great here. Get in on
and
the ground floor. Yeah. That,
and people hate on that. Like, people say that she would be like a big fish in a small pond. Yeah, but they don't. I don't feel like people give Charlotte enough credit. Like, I feel like, I mean, of course, like, I don't know, and I don't mean to cut you off, but I just feel like she could just work on elevating so much talent over there. Yes, like, a lot of them aren't even on her level yet, but it's because they're new. Like, you look at your Anna Jays over there, they've been there like a year training and wrestling wise. Like, I don't know. Like, I just feel like she could be a huge asset over there. Like, she would, in a way, be a big fish in a small pond for their division-wise, which I don't mean that even in a derogatory way. It's just kind of facts, just experience level-wise. But, man, like, I just feel like her brand, just her brand itself could just boost them. So that's why I'm just surprised, like, WWE is just so lackadaisical with this. I just don't get it.
Yeah, even if, like, your analogy is true. I mean, she would be a big fish in a smaller pond, but you know what? So what? They need big fish. Like, they need that star power. They need that one woman, or ultimately, of course, the goal would be not to have just one. But if you have Charlotte, you could focus the division temporarily around her temporarily and have, like you said, getting the rub from the other stars, building stars. It's always about building stars. It's really the only thing you need to be concerned about in any promotion is building stars. That's it. Easier said than done, but it should be your ultimate goal, because that's what drives revenue. It drives ticket sales. It gets people emotionally invested and so on. But having Charlotte go to AEW, I mean, my God, imagine the
press it will get.
The press and immediate ratings boost. She would have new talent to work with and presumably a less stressful environment. She'd be probably a lot happier there. There's a lot of good that comes with AEW, and probably getting paid at what she's getting paid with WWE or more. I mean, Tony Khan's got deep pockets. So that would be a hell of a get for AEW, and which I think sends shockwaves through wrestling even more so than anything else that's happened, even more than Daniel Bryan, which is insane to say, because Charlotte has been such a mainstay, especially on the women's roster, that
she is a superstar, a WWE superstar. She was built and created there. Like, she, you know, she started in NXT and worked her way up, but like, she was created there. Like, she didn't have that long independent run. Like, she didn't even want to be a wrestler. So it's just like, that's why I'm just so surprised. I think that is kind of what surprises me the most about all of this, is just, and again, like, we're just speculating here. Everything could be, you know, like, sunshines and rainbows over there, and then they're just all having tea right now. It's fine, you know, like, but I, like you said, I like to go with what we've heard is the real thing. So if it is, like, that's why that's the part that I'm just like, what do you guys, like, and it goes into the talent cuts, which we'll not get back into, but it's just like, how do you not care that Charlotte's upset? I mean, right. I don't know, man.
And side note, Kevin Owens, I can't wait till he goes. I mean, Kevin Owens is, I think, so much more likely.
I can't wait to see him unleashed.
Can't wait. And his contract does everything I've seen and heard from, like, actual, like, Sean Rapp, I think, of I forget where he's from, but I've heard, like, credible sources. The blue check marks on Twitter, the credible sources, right? They have all alluded to the January 30th or 31st as the end of his contract in WWE. So, end of January, he's gone. I don't know if there's a no-compete clause that he has built into his contract. If he does, I mean, have to wait 30, 60, 90 days, whatever it is. If not, he could appear in AEW as soon as February 1st. I mean,
I think that's what they've always kind of, I think that's what I've heard majority, though. Like, if your contract expires with them, like, you're good. Like, because you didn't, like, get terminated or you didn't quit. Like, I could be wrong, but I think, like, if it truly expires and you don't do anything else, like, I think you're good to go, like, February 1st, for instance.
But if you ask for your release or you're fired, that makes sense.
That's when the non-compete kind of goes in, because once your contract is expired, like, there's nothing else. And I could be wrong, but that's what I've primarily heard about that part, which is exciting, you know, like, if you think, because then AEW has their like, seasonal and quarterly shows. So I don't know, man. That's why I'm just kind of baffled by the whole thing, and just with the lack of care. there, you know, like, I don't know. It's bizarre. It's bizarre. Yeah,
it's going to come back to bite them, I think. It's already coming back to bite them.
I hate to see it. Like, I don't want that, you know?
No, I don't.
Like, I'm not happy this is happening to them, you know?
I think the comment that Triple H made 2 years ago when he said the Pissant Company is going to be one of the most remembered lines of all time when it comes to AEW and WWE.
I was at that Hall of Fame, dude. It was I'll never forget it. I'm sure. And I wonder what he's thinking about everything, like truly thinking.
If you gave him like some truth serum and just said, no, like, Paul, like, tell what do you think about what the hell's going on? I mean, Vince has essentially taken over your baby and made it his own and put his fingerprints on it. You did all the work. He got demoted, you know, I mean, he's taken one or two demotions. He cannot be happy given the state of things. Like, this is not the way I think Triple H would run the company if he was in charge. Vince still is in his geriatric state. I just don't think that it's not a good place to be. I do not believe it's a good place to be in a fearful environment. So, all right, let's get to the actual main event, at least on paper. And that is Roman Reigns versus Big E, WWE Champion versus Universal Champion. Ashley, take this.
So this one, I think, is kind of obvious, right? Like, Roman Reigns is going to win. But it sucks because, like, this is, like, Big E, for instance. Like, he obviously would benefit huge if he got a clean W here or any type of win, like, pinfall victory over Roman. I just don't see that happening now. Like, a lot of people said, like, oh, Roman can take a loss or take this loss, and even if, like, Big E, like, rolled him up really quick for, like, a 3 count and kicked out or just something to that effect. But I just, while I would love Big E to get the victory and them have Big E just kind of be the face, it's clear he's not, and that's nothing against him. No one is except for Roman, whether it's a Big E, a Drew McIntyre, Bobby Lashley, like anyone who's been champion over the past however long now. It's always been Roman, and it's going to be Roman, and it should be Roman, you know? Like, it's that's not a knock. That's not a bad thing, but it just sucks because how new Big E is as a champion. Like, you want him to continue to, you know, like, get W's, right, and just stay on that path, but I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal, honestly. And I could be off on this, but I don't see Big E taking a clean loss here as being that bad of a defeat. You know, like, do I want to see it? No, but, like, this is the situation that we're in, right? So outside of, again, having some crap finish, like a DQ or something like that, I don't see Big E losing. I see it being like maybe like 18-20 minute match, and I think that's what you need. I think you just need a solid, good match and a good showing for Big E, and that's against Roman Reigns, and have, like, not, of course, have Roman win, but after the match, depending on what may or may not happen immediately after, but have Roman kind of like give Big E like a look, you know what I mean? Like a side look, and kind of just like some form of acknowledgement, not a handshake or anything like that, but just kind of give him like a glare. So that's kind of how I see it playing out, but at the same token, if they don't do a DQ in Becky and Charlotte, I could totally see them saving it for this match, and that way that Big E doesn't lose. And again, I'd get that too. Like, I'm not advocating for him to lose, but I would just like to see like a clean finish, you know what I mean? So I'm obviously going Roman here, but I don't know. Am I off with Big E here not really being impacted too badly by a loss?
No, he wouldn't be. It's just, this is... it's a little difficult, believe it or not. I'm not saying this is the most difficult on the card, but it's not as easy, I think, as some people think, because right now they're still trying to give Big E that credible run. I mean, he beat Drew McIntyre clean. He's had some big, clean victories, and that was the point, was to establish him as a respectable champion, as a respectable babyface champion, not just give him these fluke victories, and he won it with the Money in the Bank briefcase, which is the most opportune, easy time to win the championship, but hanging on to it, they've tried to make him credible, and they've done a nice job. But does that mean that you need to topple the guy in WWE? I don't think it warrants that. As much as they're trying to establish Big E as that guy, I still wouldn't. Now, that said, I still don't think that you want to have Big E have an out here too. And I hate these funky, wonky finishes. And since there's nothing on the line, this shouldn't be that difficult for me, because if there's nothing on the line other than who's really the top guy but no championships or exchanging hands – I mean, I'd still, I would book this as Roman flat out big beats Big E. Big E has some, some hope spots. He comes really close, pushes Roman Reigns to the absolute edge, but Roman Reigns ends up pinning Big E with the spear, maybe a couple of spears where Big E, again, pushes Roman right to the end. But in the end, Roman Reigns does pull out the victory. I don't know if that's how they want to end Survivor Series with Roman Reigns standing tall. I mean, you could have in a fantasy environment, have The Rock come out after that, but he's still entangled with Brock Lesnar. Like, you can't have Roman Reigns working with Brock and The Rock at the same time. As much as we all pointed to this very pay-per-view, and I did a year ago, point to this Survivor Series as the time when The Rock was scheduled to come back and confront Roman Reigns leading from here to WrestleMania in their matchup. I don't see it happening in this. Again, I think The Rock could come back in the Battle Royal and have some kind of meaningless Rock Bottom that sends the fans home happy, everyone feels good. But I don't think in terms of this one, The Rock could appear. So first of all, so my pick is Roman Reigns wins. But do you think there's any extracurricular activities after the matchup? Maybe The Rock, something else I'm missing? Because I feel like they want to end Survivor Series in a big way in Brooklyn. And having Roman Reigns win, it's a big victory, but it doesn't feel pay-per-view quality ending big. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And thinking back on having The Rock come back, like, part of me, like, thinking back to what we were talking about with the I'm assuming the pre-match, that's a pre-match show, right, you had mentioned? Or is it on the main card itself, the 25-man Battle Royal?
It does not say it's on the pre-show. The thing is that the pre-shows, they switch it up almost last minute where things just flip-flop on the pre-show. So right now it doesn't say that, but...
Yeah. Okay, gotcha. Okay, but regardless, wherever that match is held, we'll just go with it being, like, the beginning of the card itself. So if, like... Part of me, like, thinking back on it now, like, I feel like if you're going to bring The Rock back to this particular card with all the hype, and Roman was just on whatever night show, I'm pretty sure, I don't even know, was it Fallon that he was on? They were promoting, they were in New York doing interviews or somewhere, and he was asked or if he wanted, like, a match with The Rock or something like that, and he said, essentially, yeah, but he doesn't think The Rock wants to, or he doesn't know if The Rock wants to. So part of me is intrigued by that, because... You have to know that those questions that are going to be asked are filtered through whoever WWE's PR is, so they kind of have an idea of what Roman is going to, say and be asked going into it. Or I'd imagine, like, I don't know, I just don't see them, I don't know, with how controlling WWE is, I don't see them allowing just, like, random questions on a show like that. If it's a radio show, that's one thing, but a nightly TV show like that that's watched by millions of people, I don't see it just being, just go out there and ask whatever type thing. Because then I feel like the interviewers really would. But so the fact that they even brought The Rock up there is kind of, why would you? Now, again, it could just be because of all the hype that's going on, obviously, with the whole 25 thing. But with that, too, like, why would you be focusing so much on that if this dude wasn't going to come back in some capacity? So... I'm kind of maybe reneging on my Sami Nig or Sami Nate or Zayn maybe interference a little bit ago and kind of gearing that maybe towards this, because while part of me feels like I feel like it should be obvious. And like, if it does happen, I'm gonna look and be like, duh, like, actually, like, of course, like, they're gonna, look at all these signs. So I do see The Rock coming back. I'm just gonna go ahead and say yes, he does, but. I don't know, man. Like, part of me is like, no, of course not. This dude has like literally like 20 different things going on. And while your point to the way they end the show, I kind of feel like if they don't have The Rock and he's not going to be there at all, that they're going to kind of run it back with Lesnar, because they promoted that Lesnar is going to have like a front row seat at SmackDown because he bought a ticket or whatever, even though he's suspended and he was fined $1 million, he's coming back on SmackDown. So part of me wouldn't be surprised if he kind of randomly showed up again. Not that I'm advocating for it, but if they truly are concerned with, like, ending the show on a good note, because people are going to pop the second you hear Lesnar's music, right? Like, even if after it kind of dies down and you're leaving, you're like, oh, wait, we just saw him return the same way, like, X amount of time ago. It's still Lesnar, like, I don't know. Like, I could kind of see that too, but I don't know, man. And then part of me, like, is maybe they are bold enough and they want Roman to be the star, and he is getting more cheers now. So maybe they'd be good with it.
Yeah, you just put a thought in my mind that's more likely than The Rock confronting Roman Reigns here. As much as I want to see that, I do believe it sounds like everything I'm reading and that I believe and trust is that it's going to be The Rock next year at WrestleMania 39 in LA. You know, and Hollywood, of course, you know, The Rock isn't getting any younger. I mean, as much as great as The Rock is in shape and all that, you know, plus has how hot Roman is as a heel. Do you really want to push that another 17 months? Like, you really roll. I mean, who the hell knows what WWE's going to look like at that point? Maybe they don't even, maybe they turn Roman babyface. Maybe things blow up. Maybe Roman Reigns gets injured. Like, I would strike while the iron's hot. I would put everything I got into this because you don't know when the stars are going to align again. But that said, I think the more likely scenario, if they want to send the fans home happy with a bang and people talking about it, Roman Reigns getting a victory over Big E is not going to get people too crazily excited. It's relatively expected. They'll have a decent match, but it's sort of like a main event to a SmackDown type of matchup. That said, I think that you could bring Brock Lesnar back in this capacity. He's not supposed to be there. You hear his music hit, which is kind of confusing. If he's not supposed to be there, why is the production truck agreeing to do this? But nonetheless, if you have Brock Lesnar, his music hits, he runs through the crowd, security's chasing him, he's able to attack Roman Reigns, give him an F5 quick, but is pulled out by security, and it's just chaos as he's escorted out of the arena and pushed out of the Barclays Center, and the Roman Reigns is left laying in the ring after Brock Lesnar gets his hands quickly on Roman Reigns. That's maybe how it happens, and Adam Pearce loses his mind again. I actually want to see Adam Pearce get beat up again. That's so much fun to watch Adam Pearce get his ass kicked. I love watching it.
He sells so well.
He does, and he's such a natural heel that Brock Lesnar, seeing him, even though Brock Lesnar is like 5,000 times stronger than Adam Pearce is, and I don't know what it is about it. I can't stand Adam Pearce sometimes and seeing him get beat up. So I think that's maybe what happens, and you're right. The whole Brock Lesnar purchasing a ticket to SmackDown is a true deal he did for the December 10th edition of SmackDown. So that's a couple of weeks away.
Gotcha.
So
I thought that was next week. My bad.
Last I heard it was December 10th. So if that's the
case, no, you're totally right.
Then what they could do is have Brock Lesnar do what he's going to do here. Adam Pearce addresses the crowd saying, addresses the WWE fans on the next SmackDown saying Brock Lesnar, you know, he was escorted out of the building. He's, you know, he's not going to be a part of SmackDown, whatever. But then Brock comes, the promotion is made that Brock purchased a ticket and that he'll be a part of the audience, you know, so they'll bring that more to the forefront that he purchased a ticket after he's, you know, created this chaos tomorrow night on SmackDown, on Survivor Series. So that's my thought now that you've kind of, you know, jogged my brain here.
Yeah, and just think, when you were laying out the whole Brock Lesnar run-in and being pulled off by security, just imagine if they did that, Roman is left laying in the ring, like you said, and then it goes quiet for like maybe 30, 45 seconds, and then The Rock's music plays. He just walks out, looks at Roman, looks at the championship, and then heads out, kind of like a punt did. But just imagine the bang, bang.
Don't do it. I mean, I will say this. If they have an interaction on tomorrow night's show, I think it's going to be extremely subtle, you know, extremely subtle. Say The Rock does do what I said on the Raw 25 or the Battle Royal, where he rock bottoms somebody and then he's getting interviewed backstage quickly by, oh, it's great to see you. What are you up to? And then while he's interviewing, maybe Roman passes him by quickly backstage and they kind of just eye each other and then just keep moving like two ships sailing by each other. Like that's maybe the extent of the interaction where they plant the seed, they make eye contact, but they pass. They're in separate worlds right now, but it's coming. That's maybe how it happens. So, I mean, we're like four steps ahead here.
But
that's how I
think. As always.
Yeah, I know. I'm all excited now. Now we expect not only the Brock Lesnar to come back, now we've got it in our minds that The Rock's going to come back.
Yeah, just give it to us all.
Oh, Lord. Oh, God. All right. So was there anything else in Survivor Series or anything else? Of course, there's tons of stuff that happened on SmackDown and other stuff going on Raw. I mean, we'll try to keep it a little bit focused on Survivor Series here, but of course the floor is yours if you have anything else.
Just one last thing really quick. The only other thing that I had seen floating around was, and of course, just a small possibility, but Ronda Rousey with the whole Becky and Charlotte things. I did see that maybe that's the way that they get out of it, have Ronda come back and interfere and have a DQ finish that way, because obviously the history with those two ladies. So that could be another way that they get out of that. I personally don't see Ronda coming back right now. I think she's so happy, like, being a mom just by everything that, like, video and, like, Instagram post wise. So last I heard she had signed like a 3-year contract with them. So I don't know how that plays out with the whole maternity thing. Like, and you know, like that, you know, like, I don't know how, and if she's still required, like, I don't know if that full 3-year term is still in play is kind of what I'm getting at. So I don't know if she's still technically required to do something at some time, and hey, maybe this could be a fun time and gearing towards WrestleMania, or not. Like, I don't, and like I said, I'm more like probably like 85, you know, percent chance that she's not, but I could maybe see it, you know, if she's intrigued, because she may see how quickly Becky returned too, you know, and then a similar situation. Like, I don't know how they matched up time wise. Giving birth, which is kind of weird to think about, and I'm not rushing her back, but I'm just saying, like, that's out there, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. No, it is. I've heard a quick rumor about that. I wouldn't put too much stock into it, just because of what you said, only because she just in the last couple of months had a child. I mean, and to have her come back right now, I think we're looking, in my mind, probably another year, maybe next year's WrestleMania.
That's what I was thinking.
Is more likely next year's Royal Rumble. Probably that's when I picture Ronda Rousey in the conversation for a reality, or at least in our realm of reality, of her coming back. If she comes, I will, my jaw will hit the floor if she's back tomorrow night. Like, I would be, I mean, it would be insane. I hope the crowd boos the hell out of her. Like, I mean, cause she, like, I like Ronda Rousey in terms of like what she's done, what she's accomplished, and the crowd would pop. But I think that we started to see the crowd turn on her just before she ended her contract in WWE. The fans were getting a little bit sick of her, just as with Becky, just before Becky went out on her maternity leave. The fans were like getting really sick of her as champion. The whole Shayna Baszler winning at WrestleMania 36 was bad. You know, so they got this close to turning heel organically, and then they left. And I think Ronda Rousey as a heel in WWE would be so much fun to see. I would love to see
For
it.
Sure.
And yeah. I mean, we've got to see a Ronda Rousey heel turn at some point when she returns. But I think we're looking at late 2022, early 2023 for that in my mind. So, all right. Well, now that we have everybody hyped on things that are probably not going to happen tomorrow night, and you're all be disappointed after listening to this that none of the exciting things we said happened, we apologize in advance. But hey, at least you get to pick the favorite color. Pick your favorite color. Is it red or is it blue? Because you have to be loyal to that. And if Raw,
that's the key.
Yeah, it's key. That's the most because important. We are really emotionally tied to red and or blue. There's no other colors you can choose. And if you're supporting Raw and SmackDown comes to your town, you better not go to SmackDown, or we will find you. Like, you need to be loyal to your brand.
Because, I don't know why people don't have Team Raw or Team SmackDown signs to begin with when they get rid of these shows, actually. You know, so this is our fault. This is our fault as fans.
It really is. I mean, it is totally our fault that, maybe, you know, that we didn't let WWE know that the pay-per-view is coming up, number one. So it's our fault for 3 weeks they missed all the promotion they could have been doing. But also that, we need to just pick our colors, guys. And
could you imagine if they did that in Barclays really quick? Like, could you imagine if people actually showed up with, like, Team SmackDown, Team Raw signs, and they bought the shirts? Like, WWE would not know what to do.
They would be like, wait a minute. We did this as, like kind of a
care?
Yeah, like, we didn't really mean for you guys to get involved in this. Yeah,
right. I mean, like, guys, we don't care.
But that, going back to just quick one last point on this, and then we'll close things out, is just the crowd tomorrow night is going to be the X factor. Anytime you get into a New York crowd, and I'm not tooting my own horn here. I'm not from the city, but I've been to many, many New York City shows and big profile shows. And I can say, like, they are the quote unquote hardcore audience, where they are hard to please, but they sometimes have some creative chance. They're very passionate. They will tell you like it is. It's very much like Philadelphia. Philadelphia is very toxic in a good way too. So it's going to be very interesting in terms of the crowd. As far as the reaction of Becky and Charlotte, how do they react to Kevin Owens knowing that he's on his way out? Again, these are also smart crowds. They know what's going on. It's not just your typical, families that have no idea what it is. Like, no, these people pay good money to be at pay-per-views. Typically, it's fewer families and more of the quote-unquote hardcore audience. So I'm really looking forward to hearing what the crowd has to say in terms of the matches tomorrow, too.
Yeah, me as well.
So, Ashley, thank you as always for popping on here, and hopefully we don't have to wait until New Year's Eve to rejoin one another since there's no December pay-per-view. It is just day one in 2022, so hopefully.
Yeah.
But
no, we'll have to schedule something before then.
Absolutely. And how does everyone follow you if they're interested?
Yeah, feel free to follow me on Twitter at ashmanns.
All right, very good. And Ashley, thank you as always for coming on here. It is not a preview show without you. So you have a good night, and we'll be talking soon.
Thank you. You as well, Matt. Take care.
All right, you too.